biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Welcome back again. Another Transforming Conversation with Pastor Rock. And Pastor Rock, there's some experiences that I'm sure we all have had in life as believers, especially maybe when it comes to our prayer life or maybe conversation with people, that we feel sometimes we have to make excuses for God. For example, and I've had this, praying with someone about an illness in their family or for them personally, and if the result is not as I prayed, I felt like I had to go back to the individual and say, that's God's ultimate healing is, his passing, or maybe that's just not God's will that he was healed, or, it seems like I had to fill in the gaps for God to make God look good and to make excuses for him. And it's kind of difficult. How do we handle situations when we feel we got to make excuses sometimes?
Well, let me begin by saying God has never called us to make excuses for how he conducts himself.
Right.
Because as we sing here at ACAC, he is perfect in all of his ways.
Amen.
I often remind people, when they wonder about why did God permit something, why did God do something, why didn't God do something, I remind them that God is all-knowing. So if there was a better way to handle something, he would have been aware of it.
Right.
Secondly, God is all-powerful, so if there was a better way of doing something, he had the power to pull it off. And God is love, so if he knew there was a better way and had the power to pull it off, in love he would have done it. So right. If something happens that I can't quite get my thoughts around and I can't totally understand, I rest in the knowledge that God is perfect in all of his ways. This must have been the best way given my situation.
Right.
Because, again, if there was a better way, God would know it. He had the juice to pull it off, and in love, he would have pulled it off.
Right.
So, in light of all those factors, for this time, that must have been the best thing. Now, I think ultimately we're tempted to make excuses for God for two reasons. One, three reasons. Because these are spontaneous conversations. I have the right to be spontaneous.
Yes,
I think three reasons. One, we forget where we are. Two, we forget what time it is. And three, we forget what God's up to. Okay, one, we forget where we are.
Right.
We're in a broken, sin-cursed world is dysfunctional. A world in the throes of evil. A creation that groans for redemption. And our bodies, for example, are a part of that groaning creation. This is not heaven. This is not our final destination. This is not the permanent state of things. This is the broken world that lies between God's original intent in creation and God's ultimate intent in the restoration of his creation. In between, there's devastation. So sometimes we're tempted to make excuses for God because we expect too much of life. We think it ought to be relatively pain-free, problem-free. No, this world is a hot mess. and nobody gets through it unscathed. This past Tuesday evening, we're doing this conversation on a Thursday morning. But Tuesday evening prior to this, as I was at our Alliance District campground in Mahaffey, Pennsylvania, the pastor of the Somerset Alliance Church and his wife received news that that evening her father had been killed in a tragic auto accident.
Oh, dear.
With his 17-year-old grandson. That was the son of the pastor's wife's sister.
Oh.
And I went up to the dining hall where the family had just been informed and stood and watched the just incredible sorrow, unconsolable sorrow of the pastor's sister who had not only just lost her dad, but her 17-year-old son in one night. These are God's people.
Right.
These are people in pastoral ministry. But nobody gets through this broken world unscathed. So we sometimes feel we need to make excuses for God because we forget where we're at.
Right.
Secondly, we're sometimes tempted to make excuses for God because we forget what time it is. This is the time, again, between the beautiful creation and the amazing restoration. This is the until he comes time, until he returns time, until he restores all things time. And when you're living in this time, there will be the ongoing battle between good and evil. It's not a battle between equals. We already know the outcome.
Amen.
But we are in a time of battle. And so just as people living in Syria, where we have many brothers and sisters in Christ and many Alliance churches, just as believers living in Syria get caught in the crossfire between ISIS and government forces, government forces and rebel forces, and die because they get caught in that crossfire because they're living in a time of civil breakdown and unrest and civil war and religious war. We're living in the midst of a spiritual war between principalities and powers and spiritual forces of darkness and the God of all creation. And we're going to get caught in the crossfire. There's no escaping it. We're going to be in the wrong place at the wrong time when a spiritual bomb goes off, when a spiritual terrorist attack takes place. In this nation, far less so than believers in most places. We're in the time, the parenthesis, between the original creation and the ultimate restoration, and it is a time of spiritual conflict. That's why bad things happen to God's people as well.
That's right.
Because we're in a broken creation, and in the time after perfection and before restoration. And many times, if we would remember those two things, then we wouldn't make everything that happens about God. We would see things in light of where we are and what time it is.
Right.
And then we wouldn't feel pressure to somehow get God off the hook and keep him from looking bad.
Right, right.
So I think a lot of the subtle pressure to make excuses for God, which we should never do, because to make an excuse for God is to imply he has some weakness or imperfection or lack of understanding or lack of compassion.
Right.
He has none of the above.
Right.
He is perfect in all of his ways. We feel that pressure because we forget where we are, we forget what time it is, and then the third thing, we forget what God is up to. And in this world, God is in this time and in this place, God is calling out of the darkness a people for his own eternal possession. He is calling out his church. He is calling out a community of faith from every tribe and nation who in that restored earth that has no expiration date will enjoy God and the restored creation as God originally intended. He is not seeking to establish a protected class of people who dance through life without heartache, without losing a job, without financial trials, without wayward children, without broken marriages, without cancer, without heart attacks, without car accidents, without death, without sickness. No, he is calling out a people for his own possession, and he's teaching them about himself and calling them into an intimate love relationship with himself in the midst of the time they are living in the midst of the place they are living in. He is not giving them heaven now. He is giving them that as their eternal blessed hope, mm-hmm. and teaching them and preparing them for that time now. But he is not shielding them from now.
Right.
So God never said that in this life it would be a cakewalk. He said in this life you will have tribulation. He said when you walk through the fire. He right. didn't say if you're one of mine, you'll never walk through the fire. He said when you walk through the flood. He didn't say if you're one of mine, you'll never walk through the flood.
Right.
He said when you walk through the valley of the shadow. He didn't say you'll never walk through it if you're one of mine. He promised he would be with us, teaching us about himself, drawing us into intimacy with himself, because when we leave this world and enter the next, that's the one thing we're going to take with us, our relationship with God.
That's
we're
right.
not taking our house. We're not taking our car. We're not taking our children. We're not taking our parents. We're not taking our money. We're not taking anything but our relationship with God. And so he's calling out a people for his possession. And in the midst of a broken world and a time of spiritual warfare, he is teaching us how to love him and receive his love and live in intimacy with him so that we come through this hard time and this hard place with unscathed souls prepared for the glorious eternity that he has for
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
So if we understand where we are, what time it is, and what God is up to, we don't have to make excuses for him.
That's right.
We don't have to say, well, they got the better healing, the healing of eternity. You know, that's true, but it's not a whole lot of comfort.
No.
If you're left behind, if you're the parents of the 17-year-old boy.
Yeah, that doesn't
That mom
hold any water.
Is scarred for life.
Right.
You never get over the death of a child because it's the out-of-order death.
Right.
You're to die before your children. You never wrap your thoughts around them dying before you.
Right.
She's got to carry that. But that's because she's in this place at this time.
Right.
God will be there to bring her through. She won't be burned. She won't be drowned.
Amen.
But she's got to go through.
Right.
She's going to go through the rest of her days on this earth. She'll carry that pain with her to her grave. But in the midst of it, God will build that intimate, loving relationship that will be the foundation of a glorious eternity in that place where there are no phone calls late at night.
Amen.
And no sorrows and no grave sites and no funeral services and no terrorist bombings and no chemotherapy, none of that. Remember where we are, remember what time it is, remember what God's doing in this time, and you won't feel like you need to make excuses for him.
Right.
Because any excuse I would make for him, though it may be well-intended, is unnecessary and misguided. It doesn't serve others well, it doesn't serve me well, and it certainly doesn't glorify God.
Amen. Sticking with our 15-minute format.
Yep.
It goes quick.
It goes quickly.
Excellent words. A lot to think about, especially, you know, if we do make excuses, then he's somewhat lacking, and that's not the case at all.
Nope, he is perfect in all of his ways. We're very imperfect in all of our understanding.
That's right.
Maybe that ought to be the next line of that worship chorus. He's perfect in all of his ways, and we're imperfect in all of our understanding.
Well, thank you for your insight and understanding.
Thank you, Greg.